I feel like I probably talked about that last time. And I've since retired from all cross training. I haven't
That's
done...
a good feeling. That's a really good feeling.
To be honest, the last couple of weeks have been like some of the best running I've had in terms of feeling in like 14 or 15 months.
I can see the light, and now I'm able to start running again. So that feels amazing.
Yeah, we're leaving in like 10 days for a little last altitude little camp in Japan. Oh, I
well,
see how we
that's that. That's very good news. That's amazing to hear. It's good. Maybe you have a new formula now. It's take a few weeks off and just cross train extremely hard, and then
find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 199.1. Today, I'm joined by George, who is there in the studio. I'm here in Stockholm, kind of random. We'll explain it, but George, how's it going over there in Boulder?
Holding down the fort, Morg. It's actually been a very interesting couple of weeks in Boulder, because the whole team has just absolutely cleared out of town, and it has just been literally me, Kai, and Robert at practice.
The gang holding it down.
We had Josette for a few days there, but then she also left to Brussels, and the rest of the team is in Europe. And so, yeah, practice these days is like 3 athletes and about 6 staff members.
It's a good ratio.
Yeah, so we got two staff per athlete. So we're very well looked after. And Boulder has just, this is the last day of summer. Like, literally, we have the craziest looking forecast from today onwards. It's been like, Boulder's freaking hot. It's hot in the summer. It's like mid 30s Celsius, mid 90s Fahrenheit for our various listeners. Tomorrow onwards, 20 degrees lower for just the rest of time.
No. So summer's done already?
Yeah, summer ends today, which is not good for tanning or heat training, but is going to be pretty nice for the last little bit of running. So that's Boulder currently. It's a very small crew, but
yeah, that is weird. I saw, did you guys go up to the mountain for your run this morning? That's kind of crazy to do this time of year.
Yeah, we went to Rollinsville yesterday, which we had to talk Ritz into that for a little bit. Basically, we had an easy-ish long run, and we were sick of running down in Boulder where it's hot, and we run the same roads a lot of the time. So we were looking for a little change up, and it's much cooler up there, and we promised that we would be sensible. And we were, and we still felt good today, I think. So I think we're in the clear. But it's beautiful up there. I hadn't been in like, I want to say like 2 years, maybe. Like, obviously I didn't go last fall. I don't think you guys went either, right?
No, like, I don't remember going up high at all once.
No. Like, our fall is so late these days that by the time we're even doing it, it's like full-blown winter up there.
Yeah, it is a shame that we miss out on all the classic Boulder, Magnolia, Rollinsville, the classic long run spots. We're just down at 5,000 feet every week. So that is pretty cool that you guys did get to do that. A rare occurrence.
And we were disciplined about keeping it easy.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, Rollinsville is one of the kind of famous spots up there, and it's up, I think it's around 9,000 feet, but the thing with it, which is quite dangerous, is that it's just a hill. It's just a big hill. So the first half, you're going all uphill. second half, you're going all downhill. So as you can imagine, it's very easy to go really fast and kind of fuck your body on that second half.
Yeah, it's easy to go too hard uphill, like heart rate wise, and easy to go too hard downhill and just trash your legs.
double killing yourself.
It's dangerous in both directions. But my long run's pretty short at the moment. Kai still had a decent long run. But then we hit up Salto afterwards for some coffee and half price breakfast burritos, because it was like after breakfast and they had some like leftovers. So that was
amazing.
It was just like a perfect little situation. And wait, actually, but did you know it's not called Salto anymore? They've changed it to the Ned General. Ned General.
What a rebrand. That's a crazy rebrand. That's a, like, because, man, I don't know how I feel about that, because now when people go there, they're going to think like this place has been called the Ned's General for like 100 years.
I think that's true. I think they're trying to do that because I feel like they want to be like, which one is the General? Is that the one in Ward?
I think it is. Jamestown has the mercantile.
Gold Hill has also, maybe is that called a merc? Is that the merc as well? I feel like they want it to seem it's mountain town vibes. But
that's crazy.
That like a couple of weeks ago.
I'm happy you brought that to our attention so everyone knows the truth.
Yeah. I feel like I might just keep calling it Salto because otherwise I'm going to get confused.
That is confusing.
But it was not the Boulder day. Took Jason up there, who had never been, so it was a good time.
He would have loved it, yeah. That's very cool. I think, we were talking before the pod, and we realized that, I mean, you've had quite the journey since you kind of did like a big update on your situation, which last time you really talked about it was still, you honestly were still really coming back from your injury, I think. And now we're at the point where you're really looking ahead to the big dance, the big race come up very soon. So do you want to do a little jaws check in here and just kind of update everyone on how it has been and how things are looking as you head into this final little block?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I think the update has been a long time coming, but we had guests and then we had USAs and then lost track of time. So, I don't know, what do we call it? It was Gooch Watch. Now it's, was it FEMA Watch?
I don't think we even named it.
I don't know if we did, but we could. It could be FEMA Watch this time. Last time I was probably in the midst of a bunch of heat training, cross training.
Sounds right.
I did like 2 or 3 weeks of like pretty big weeks. It felt like hit 100% on my heat adaptations. Did way too many hours on the bike and the Stairmaster and some elliptical, and got a little bit bike fit. Like my quad stopped hurting. I feel like I probably talked about that last time. And I've since retired from all cross training.
That's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling.
And it's been part of the comeback. That's like, we made like a decision that, no more cross training. At least for this point of time. So the return to running, it actually went pretty well. And like it was pretty aggressive in terms of my day one on the ground was July 13th, which is a significant date because first round of Worlds is September 13th. So exactly 2 months before Worlds, I ran 10 minutes on the ground. So that was the starting point, and like just a pretty normal, but like I don't know what the build up was, but my calves were absolutely fucked. Similar to like starting biking a bunch and your quads are like constantly sore. It was just that I had to go through that whole process again, but for running, like, and it was just calves instead. I think there's like no way to prep your calves for like the load of distance running. It's like,
trying to avoid impact.
Yeah, exactly. Like not if I'm not trying to put me impact through my freaking broken femur. So, and like, that's just like so underappreciated once you're running a lot, like how resilient your calves have to become, or like how used to that load. I don't know if there's like another sport that just like trashes your calves like running, I've decided. And so there was like brutal couple of weeks where every day it felt like my calves were going to explode. And that was like trying to get back into a couple of easy workouts, which was, I don't even know what I started with. Whatever, some boring threshold stuff probably. And trying to do a little bit of like turnover work just to like relearn how to run. But the thing, like, and I was just being held back by my muscles being destroyed. Like I couldn't, I'd obviously like lost some fitness, but I couldn't even like test my fitness because my legs just hurt so much. Like my calves were just fucked every day and every muscle was just like taking an absolute beating, getting back into running, which was like kind of a funny experience, but also just not enjoyable.
Yeah, that's very frustrating.
Yeah. But like by 1 month later, like August 13th, just for a reference point, halfway point, but before Worlds, like things had turned around pretty well. Jason had come and he's here at the moment. So a few bit of treatment and lots of Koki treatments in between on the calves. And between the femur, like never felt it again. Should have mentioned that. The femur's good to go. And the cortisone in the ankle seems to be holding up as well. So
nice.
Like, to be honest, the last couple of weeks have been like some of the best running I've had in terms of feeling in literally like 14 or 15 months.
Wow.
Really, like since before Prefontaine last year in May, which was where the shit hit the fan. I don't know what it is really. And just like the last, I saw Jason Monday, Wednesday this week, and it's the least he's had to do on my body since that time as well. Like since April of 2024. And I don't know what the difference was in this build compared to, like, obviously I raced Penn and Trackfest before the FEMA went south. But even like that, those couple of months, like March, April, even like they were some consistent months in terms of training, but in terms of feel, like they were pretty rough still. Like February, March, April, running was just a bit of a grind still, like coming off a lot, like the long break after the Olympics all the way through to January, trying to get back into it, like on Phoenix training camp, that kind of thing. Like my body just was handling it, but just not well. And like the amount of work Jason was putting in every time he came was like, there just was never enough time on. Like we'd be cramming an extra half hour treatment because like there was just a constant work that could be done and running just felt like shit. But I don't know what it is. Like the last 2 weeks, it's been like such a turnaround and shit, I have so much like, I don't even know what, like so much gratitude for it or just so much more joy in the last 2 weeks running, that makes it a really fun build up now that we're in the last few weeks. And it's such a contrast from like the build up before like Paris. Like obviously I was with you, Morgs, for a lot of it in like St. Moritz, Zurich, and Paris Diamond League before that. Like it should have been like such a cool build up towards Paris. But for me, it was fucking miserable. Like it was so painful every day and it was so hard to enjoy that time. And I feel like I still did as long as I wasn't running, but like the practice and like workouts leading up to Paris were just like, I can't even, it's so hard to describe how like much pain that was running in to then like to what I'm in now in this, these last few weeks. Like, it's just makes it so much more enjoyable. And so I've like, it's really fun to look forward towards in that way. And like fun to go to practice and think my body's like actually cooperating in a decent way. Like the hurdles are feeling as good as they have this year. Like I've been doing quite a lot of trying to like get like ankle stiffness stuff. Like I started doing these really aggressive uphill bounds and like jumps like that to like build stiffness really quick. And that stuff has been just making hurdling feel so much easier. Just with that stiffness and feel like I can bounce over them. And so who knows if 2 months is going to be enough time come September 13th. But at this point, I'm just like happy to be in the last 3 or 4 weeks and actually like feeling like I am in a place to run at least free and like run hard without, like maybe the fitness is not going to be what it was, but I think I'll make up for a lot of it by just being in a good spot, hopefully. And so that's all good news. And I didn't end up getting in a race. I don't know if maybe I said a month ago that that was probably still 50-50, but didn't happen. And I'm pretty neutral feeling about that. Like I was happy to keep training. At this point, I need to train as much as I can anyway. And so a race was just kind of going to be a good dress rehearsal. But I think that extra kind of week of being able to train as high a level as I can in the last couple of weeks, is going to be all good at the moment. So yeah, we're leaving in like 10 days for a little last altitude, little camp in Japan. And then yeah, September 13th, day one of Worlds again, which I'm very happy about. It's nice being on day one.
That's so much better.
Yeah, we'll see how we get there.
That's very good news. That's amazing to hear. It's good. Maybe you have a new formula now. It's take a few weeks off and just cross train extremely hard, and then just a nice short and sharp 2 month build up straight into running. You got to sacrifice your carbs for the first few weeks, but then the trade off is this amazing feeling. And I mean, it's something that, well, I mean, we get in this bubble where we train so hard and we push our bodies so much. But I mean, if you take a step back, I think anyone would be like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, running is going to suck when you're running through an injury. That's never easy. And obviously we have these big goals, so that pushes you to do that sometimes. But some, especially people who have, I mean, no, anyone, not especially people who have injury histories, but I guess we just experience it more. It's like you get very sensitive to your body. And if you feel something is off, it's both, you know, it's you know, a body-mind connection. So it's, if you have something off in your body, your mind is never able to actually just relax and really enjoy the run at all as well. And so it does become, unfortunately, quite torturous. And then you add the stress in of, well, I got to go run in the race in the Olympics in a few weeks. So to me, what you're saying makes complete sense. And it sounds like, obviously it's been such a long road for you, but man, it sounds like perfect timing for things to be feeling the way that they are. So
it was a good year for Worlds to be in the middle.
Isn't it crazy? Like when you saw all like the 1 year post from yeah, Paris, and you're like, oh fuck! Like,
yeah, that's actually.
I'm so happy it's not right now.
Yeah, it was. And I really think there's going to be people that are on the opposite end of this that are like
100%,
that are going to be barely holding on by middle of September. So I'm pretty happy to be in a spot where maybe I'm going to be a little underdone in fitness, but I'm going to be like on the right trajectory,
momentum,
as opposed to holding on. So yeah, whatever that looks like, come Worlds, I'm pretty excited about it.
Hell yeah. Well, that's going to be so awesome to see. And we do have like quite a bit of, we're not really going to talk about Diamond League stuff today. We're going to just touch on a few storylines because this is going to be a shorter episode. Should say Ollie will be back. The plan is for Ollie to be back next week with George in the studio because he has a lot of recent racing news to talk about. But before we get into some of like the little storylines, a little Morgan update explaining my situation. So my booty watch, I guess you could call it, the glute has actually finally come around. It was one of the most annoying injuries I've had. Just, I mean, we talk about all the time how tendon stuff can be like that. And I was dealing essentially with just glute med tendonitis, and it was just really limiting for what felt like forever. Like I couldn't really run more than 10 minutes. Like I was trying to do like 2 minute runs and some walks. And there was a long period of time where I couldn't run more than 10 minutes total in a day. And finally, that's kind of like, I've gotten through it and I can see the light, and now I'm able to start running again. So that feels amazing. So I, similar to you, I feel the joy of running once again, and my timeline is obviously very different. However, so I do have the luxury of a nice, long, slow build now. So I'm very happy about that, which is nice.
But what got you over the hump, do you think?
Yeah, see, my timeline is a little bit, it's like hard to say because I got that cortisone shot, which for me was definitely not a good thing to do because like I could run for a month, and then once it wore off, the pain mm-hmm. came back. So it probably didn't help me. It probably set me just like a month back or whatever in terms of long-term progress. And the whole time I had been doing exercises, but I guess I was doing the exercises, maybe I was just doing them for long enough and just being patient enough and letting the tendon heal and remodel with training at a lower load and not pushing it too much. So it actually had the ability to recover, because the thing is, like, it was really hard. Like, I won't get into too much detail with it right now, but it was really hard because the whole time with the injury for me, there's a lot of uncertainty on the timeline because, like, you know, I had people telling me like, oh yeah, maybe in like a week it'll be good, you know? And so I take it cautious for a week. And like, I remember, I think I took 2 weeks off initially, and then I tried to run for 5 minutes, and then it was really bad after that. So there was a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty. But, you know, speaking to doctors now, they'll tell you, like, the reality of a tendon is it takes time to remodel, and you can't rush that process. And I think they normally say about 3 months is how long it can take, like, if it's badly damaged. And so that's honestly what it took for me, is that kind of full timeline. And then, you know, the way my body works, like a lot of us, is like really goes into protect mode as well. So I had the actual tendon, which had to heal, and then all the stuff around it, all the muscles around that area, had really tightened up a lot as well. So loosening that stuff and getting that all to function properly again also was a process that didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen in 1 week. It's still happening right now, you know, like it's still a process, but that took time as well. So I think it was the combination of those two things. But at the end of the day, it just comes back to, like, I don't think there was a secret magic bullet. I think it was time, you know, mm-hmm. which it was really hard because, you know, we're very impatient, and the way it played out, it ended up like my whole season was gone by the time I can run again. So it did kind of suck, but at the end of the day, I think that's what it took. And I think allowing it to take the time, and, you know, when you finally be patient with it, hopefully that's what I needed to set me up for a more long-term, you know, approach in terms of, like, this is completely healed and it's not going to be a problem, and it's not going to cause any other problems. Because if you look back at my entire year, it's like, it's a pretty sad story of just like an injury cycle where, you know, the causation between the different injuries I had is not necessarily like obvious, but I'm sure that they're all related still, you know? or they're related at least in like there was some compensation, or my body, because of the injuries, wasn't able to then handle the load that I was then trying to apply to it in my comeback. So yeah, hopefully now that this one, I really had to be so slow and patient with it, I'm fully out of that cycle. That's the goal at least. And that's something that I'm trying to be very aware of and not forget, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think the likelihood of them being connected, it is pretty fucking high, I think.
Yeah.
Like from what I had going on of like in like June of last year, like I think a lot of the stuff that I had through the winter, the spring, and the stuff this summer is like is very connected to that like initial like setback, and then like knowing that I was running myself into a hole to get to the Olympics, but not realizing how big of an impact that was going to have. And that was it, like a year plus of trying to, and who knows if I'm like, I don't know if I'm 100% there, but like, yeah, fuck, it takes ages. And
yeah, the body works in mysterious ways, and you would never be able to fathom or really comprehend the chain reaction.
Yeah, I think for some reason both of us, like we have like some mechanism where we get so good at compensating for something just to make it happen, and then like we both get stuck in these like patterns of loading just in a way that will let us do it, but that is not good long term, and that is just going to lead to something else. Like I think we're
totally
just very, but yeah.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, seriously. There's some hope, sure.
Yep. Well, we spent most of the podcast talking about injuries so far, because just so everyone knows, this was going to be like a 30-minute episode. But I came to Italy initially a week and a half ago now to spend time with Cinta. She just went through surgery on her knee. Everyone send her healing energy and best wishes, because she's in the thick of it right now. And I'm going to be over in Europe for about 5 weeks total. So I wanted to come spend a week in Sweden with our friend Andreas. And it just happened that this was kind of the only time that made sense, because he's traveling next Wednesday to go to Zurich for the Diamond League final. And then after that, he'll be back here for just a few days before he heads off to Japan as well. So I'm getting to spend a few days here in Sweden with him, which has been absolutely awesome. This place is beautiful. It lives up to all the hype, and it's like exactly like what you would expect from the stereotypes. It's like, it's very cool. It's very cold here compared to Italy, but it's just so beautiful, green, like water everywhere. It was one of those times where I was like traveling to a country where I was like, I really like don't know that much about this place. Like, I don't even know how to say hello in the language or thank you.
I've been three times and I can't do that.
I know. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I really know nothing. My knowledge was an author, Henning Minkel, who writes crime stuff, which is pretty popular here in Sweden. I don't know if how many of our fans will be into this, but Drain Gang, Young Lean, Bladey Sad Boys, some niche rap, and then the brand Koz. That was my main 3 points of reference to Sweden. And so far, I haven't really been exposed to any of them. But what I have been exposed to is, yeah, he's got a great training setup here. It's been pretty cool to experience here. Like it's next to Stockholm and Sollentuna. It's just like amazing. And just a great track, great indoor track. Just got to see him rip some 200s today before he goes and does a 10K race tomorrow. This weekend, they have this big, I guess, a dual meet between Sweden and Finland. And there's a 10K, which I think was meant to be on the track, but they changed it to the road. So I'm going to go watch it tomorrow, which is going to be really cool. They're doing a 2K loop, and I think they start and finish in the stadium. So I think it's going to be pretty hype. Mongo is going to be there competing.
That's a crazy time of year to throw down a road 10K.
I assume
not run that hard.
That's the hope. That's the plan. But then I went for a run today with one of his teammates, and I can't remember his name right now. But I didn't expect that anyone would be near his level. But then he's like, oh yeah, ask him what his marathon time is, and I asked him, and it's 2:05. He's one of the other guys racing 2:05. He came eighth in the Paris marathon. So it's like, okay, there's some good, I guess he's a teammate though. I don't know how good the Finnish team is, but yeah, there's going to be some good runners there. And apparently this is a massive deal because it's just like a historic meet. This is the 100th anniversary of this meet. And he was telling me that they get over 1 million people watching it sometimes, which for a country of about 10 million is crazy. And they have a full stadium because Mondo is going to be there. So it should be a lot of fun. I was, not to name drop, but I did speak to Mondo this morning at the track for the first time in my life. Have you heard him speak before? He's like American. I didn't realize he was going to be so like Southern, like so like Southern American, like kind of like a little bit like gangster style. I don't know how to describe it. Like definitely can tell he's 5 years younger than us. He dropped the word fire. He's like, yeah, man, that's fire, like a bunch of times. And then I was doing the last of the track, and it was next to an elementary school, and all the kids there were yelling at me and trying to get high fives. And I couldn't work out at first what they were yelling at me because I thought it was something in Swedish. And then I realized they were saying, Duplantis, Duplantis. I think they thought I was Mondo Duplantis somehow.
What?
He's like at least 3 inches taller than me.
Is he really?
He's not huge, but he's decent.
Yeah. Wait, that's funny.
Very recognizable, I would say.
Yeah, he is.
So, that's been...
He doesn't have a beard either. That's like a pretty...
So, I don't know. These kids, maybe they just think every athlete on the track is Mondo Duplantis, and they think that every event on the track is the pole vault, but... Yeah, that's this little Sweden trip I got. But then I'll be back in a few days in Italy, so I'll be there for a few weeks with Cinta, getting in my training in northern Italy around the beautiful corn fields, grinding it out. So that's my plan. Yeah, it's like the Midwest of Italy, you could say.
Do they say that?
I don't think they have a concept of what the Midwest is, but I think if they did, they would.
It would be that. That's your definition of it. That's funny.
It's literally like, it's every day I was there running, it was like 35 degrees and like 80 to 90% humidity and just everywhere.
According to Joe Klicker, he's been telling it like the corn sweat, apparently. Maybe that's what you're feeling. Apparently,
that's a real thing?
Yeah, that's what Klicker was telling us. Apparently the corn, as a Midwesterner, the corn like releases a ton of moisture during the day. So then,
makes sense.
It's just freaking you. You're probably getting super heat adapted, actually.
I definitely am.
How's your
this up for later.
How's your Italian?
Italian's improving. It's really improving. I've quietly been grinding on my Italian for the last 6 months or so. The whole year, really. And I'm finally seeing the fruits of my labor. I'm not good enough to really talk yet. I can say fragmented sentences at a very elementary level, but I can understand a lot more, and that's been really nice. This is how they trick you. So in the household, they'll speak Italian a little bit, especially to Cinta, because she only speaks Italian. But then among the rest of the family, I might have mentioned this before to you, George, they speak a different dialect called Friulano. So then they just stop speaking Italian, and then they start speaking a different language, and then like, oh, you guys lost me. And it's like quite different to Italian.
Does Cinta not speak that?
No, she understands it, but she only responds in Italian.
So that's why they speak Italian to her. But if she's not there, they'll just rattle off this other dialect. That makes
sense. Yeah, and even when she is there, if they're speaking among themselves, they'll just slip back into it.
What?
Yeah, it's quite frustrating.
That's
brutal. I'm not learning that. That's too much. It's it's literally like, it's not even that close to, like, it's some similarities to Italian, but it's too hard.
Is it like close to Slovenian or something? Like, I don't know
what the roots of Friulano is, but they make funny sounds and I can't explain it. So, but my Italian is improving a lot and it's so much nicer because you don't have to try. Like, you don't really have to put the effort in, you know. Back home, you have to be like, oh man, I got to listen to my podcast, I got to do these. You just have to exist and just soak it in. And I'm loving that. So yeah, things have been pretty good. Just looking after Cinta. You know, it's not easy coming back from like a major surgery, obviously. So it's been all hands on deck for that. But the good thing is she is progressing. So that's been amazing to see. But yeah, this is my home base for now. And it's nice to spend a bit of time in Europe, you know, get away from the US for a little bit before I'm sure I'll be in there, back there for quite a bit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fair enough.
So, sweet dude. Well, do we have any time?
We planned on talking about more Diamond League stuff, but I'm running out of time with other very important arrangements, which are not at all. But what can we say? Go watch Yared in the Diamond League final, attempting to qualify for Worlds next. It's like Wednesday or Thursday. Brussels Diamond League is tomorrow. Only two more Diamond League meets of the year. So tune into those.
Wait, can you explain this to me? There's Brussels Diamond League is on tomorrow, and then the Diamond League final is like...
It's only like four days later.
5 days. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think that's why it seems like maybe there's less people in Brussels. I don't know. Josette and Yara in Brussels, though. Potentially, I don't know, maybe Robert will make the final in 1500. And Yara will.
Can he do it?
I think he is going to do it if he makes it. Yeah. We'll know all that after Brussels tomorrow.
Yeah. I think there'll be a lot more Diamond League talk probably next week with the boys. But I mean, everyone knows the storylines right now. This is the pointy end of the season. And more so than any other year, there's a lot on the line at these Diamond League finals. So they're going to be the most exciting that they've been. So,
yeah, for sure. And
pay attention.
Hopefully Ollie will be back and we'll hear about some racing and we'll keep previewing for Worlds.
Yeah.
Next couple of weeks.
That time of year.
Sure is.
Hell yeah. Well, this has been a very short, quick one today, but George does have to get to an appointment. So I think it's time to say goodbye to everyone. And thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 199.1 of the Coffee Club podcast. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.